Welcome to Revision Ready, the podcast that gets you exam confident, one topic at a time. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and frequently examined topics in GCSE biology, ecology. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel, or OCR, this episode is packed with everything you need to know, from ecosystems and food webs, right through to human impacts and the carbon cycle. So grab a pen, find somewhere comfortable, and let's get started. Section 1. Core concepts. Let's begin with the big picture. What actually is ecology? Ecology is the study of how living organisms interact with each other and with their non-living environment. And the key word here, the one examiners love to test, is ecosystem. An ecosystem is defined as the interaction of a community of living organisms with the non-living or abiotic components of their environment. Notice that definition has two parts. The community, that's all the living things, and the abiotic environment, that's the physical and chemical conditions. You need both parts for a full mark definition. Now, within an ecosystem, we separate factors into two categories. Abiotic factors are the non-living ones. Think light intensity, temperature, moisture levels, soil pH, wind speed, and carbon dioxide concentration. Biotic factors are the living ones, things like food availability, predation, disease from pathogens, and competition between organisms. A classic exam trap is mixing these two up. Remember, abiotic equals absent of life, the physical stuff. Biotic equals biological, the living stuff. Moving on to communities. A stable community is one where the populations of all species remain roughly constant over time. This happens because of interdependence. Every species depends on others, directly or indirectly. If you remove one species from a food web, it can have a cascade of effects throughout the whole community. Examiners love asking you to predict what happens when a species is removed, so practice tracing those effects through a food web. Now let's talk about adaptations. Organisms have evolved features that help them survive in their particular habitat. Examiners want you to classify adaptations into three types. First, structural adaptations, these are physical features of the body. A polar bear's thick fur is a structural adaptation to cold environments. A cactus's thick, waxy stem is a structural adaptation to dry conditions. Second, behavioral adaptations, these are things the organism DOE. Hibernation is a behavioral adaptation to survive winter. Migration is another example. Third, functional adaptations. These are internal biochemical processes. A camel producing concentrated urine to conserve water is a functional adaptation. Antifreeze proteins in Arctic fish are another example. The key examiner tip here, never just say it has thick fur to keep warm. You must identify the type of adaptation. Say this is a structural adaptation because it involves the physical feature of the organism. That's the difference between one mark and two marks. Let's move on to food chains and trophic levels. A food chain shows the flow of energy from one organism to the next, always starting with a producer, a plant or alga that makes its own food through photosynthesis. The arrows in a food chain show the direction of energy flow. So grass, then rabbit, then fox means energy flows from the grass to the rabbit to the fox. Candidates often draw the arrows the wrong way. They point in the direction of energy transfer, not the direction of eating. Each position in a food chain is called a trophic level. Producers are at trophic level 1. Primary consumers, the herbivores, are at trophic level 2. Secondary consumers are at trophic level 3, and so on. Now here's the crucial rule that comes up in calculations again and again. Only approximately 10% of the biomass at one trophic level is transferred to the next. The other 90% is lost through heat from respiration, through feces and urine, through movement and growth processes that don't get eaten. This is why pyramids of biomass get smaller as you go up. There's simply less biomass available at each level. So if you have a question that says, a field contains 10,000 kilograms of grass, estimate the biomass of the rabbits that feed on it. You multiply by 10%. That's 10,000 times 0.1, giving you 1,000 kilograms of rabbits. And the foxes that eat those rabbits, 1,000 times 0.1 equals 100 kilograms of foxes. Simple, but candidates lose marks by forgetting to apply the 10% rule consistently. Now let's cover the carbon cycle. This is a favorite for 6-mark questions. Carbon moves through ecosystems in a continuous cycle. Carbon dioxide from the atmosphere is absorbed by plants during photosynthesis and converted into organic compounds, glucose, proteins, fats. When organisms respire, they release carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere. When organisms die, decomposers, bacteria, and fungi break down the organic material, and they too respire, releasing carbon dioxide. Combustion of fossil fuels also releases carbon dioxide that was locked away millions of years ago, and carbon can dissolve into oceans where marine organisms use it to build shells. The key processes to remember are: photosynthesis removes carbon dioxide, respiration releases it, decomposition releases it, and combustion releases it. A common mistake is forgetting to mention that decomposers also respire. Examiners specifically credit this point. The water cycle is also important. Water evaporates from oceans and land surfaces, transpires from plant leaves, condenses to form clouds, and precipitates as rain or snow. Key terms: evaporation, transpiration, condensation, precipitation, and surface runoff. Factors affecting the rate of decay are frequently tested. Decomposers work faster when conditions are warm because enzymes work faster at higher temperatures, up to their optimum. They work faster when moisture is present because decomposers need water for their metabolic processes. And they work faster when oxygen is available because most decomposers are aerobic. This is why food is refrigerated to slow decomposition and why waterlogged soils decompose slowly. They are anaerobic.